Well, may it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the second book of the Kings, chapter 7, and we'll read verse 9. The second book of the Kings, chapter 7, and reading verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." It's very wonderful, really, to know how the Lord God, in his great mercy and providence, has recorded such accounts like this for the Church of God down through the ages, and indeed for us today, to realize that there is a great God who rules and reigns and who controls all things, that he controls everything in the hearts of men and women. And as we read through, or as you read through the Word of God, there are a good number of cases where there was a need for a victory to be fought or something similar to happen, and God in his great providence ordained that it should occur without any physical battle. And that's what's just happened in this occasion here, because the Syrians had come and surrounded Samaria, and they intended to starve them out. That was a common form of battle in those days, to surround another town, which usually was walled in, and to stop the people getting out to that town to get food. And therefore, in due time, of course, food ran out, the people starved, and it usually meant they had to surrender. Well, that was the situation here. The people were in the town of Samaria, and they were starving. There wasn't any real food, and we read the very sad position which existed with the woman who told about the child that had been eaten because they hadn't got any food. And of course, the effect it had on the king, he actually was there in sackcloth because of the condition. And he thought, of course, it had been brought about by Elisha the prophet. And therefore he said that, well, he would take the head off Elisha the prophet that day. But of course it wasn't because of Elisha at all. But nonetheless, Elisha was a prophet, and Elisha was able to prophesy and say to the elders which had come to him, as we read in the beginning of the 7th chapter, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, about tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And of course, just to so we understand that, what it meant was that there was a famine. There was nothing really to have, as we read. Things were very, very expensive. And yet here was going to be the total reverse. Well, how was that to happen? Again, it seemed a real impossibility. But nonetheless, we realize how God works out his providences. And this was a wonderful occasion. And so we come to the position that were these four leprous men. Well, of course, we spoke about leprosy this morning, but this is a very different scene. And these leprous men were outside the gate. They weren't, of course, allowed to come into Samaria because of the leprosy which they had, which, of course, was very contagious. So there they were outside the gate. Without any food, what were they to do? And so they spoke, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the hand of the Syrians. If they save us, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. You may remember there was a very similar kind of situation in the life of David, when David very foolishly wanted to number the people, to see how many people there were under him in the city. There was no need to do that. And Joab, his lieutenant, was told to go and do it. He wasn't very happy at all to do it. And he didn't do it totally, but he did make an effort. And the fact was, it was against God's will. And God, by the prophet, came and said to David, he'd done this wrong deed. And therefore there were three things that he could choose. And one was a famine. And there were three things, and he wasn't sure what to ask for. So David very simply said, let us fall into the hands of God, for his mercies are great. Well, and so they were, and so they are here. And so what these men say is indeed true. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. And then they rose up in the twilight and went into the camp of the Syrians. And we read together what happened. Quite amazing. They came to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, the edge, and there was no one there. Normally they would, of course, have had guards, but there was no one there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. So there was no one left in the camp of the Syrians. And then these four lepers, they came to the uttermost part of the camp, and they went into one tent, and they'd eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. And then we find really quite a wonderful thing happened. Again they spoke one to another, and they said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Well, this was a very wonderful position to have arrived at. They could have just carried on, of course, plundering all the stuff that the Syrians had left behind. But they realized this was not a good thing to do. And clearly God had touched their conscience, and they realized what they were doing was not right. And how important it is still today for us to find ourselves in a position. We may be doing things which is not right. And so the reaction was, they said, this is a day of good tidings. There was some good news to spread abroad. And they said, and we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Well, that's a very obvious situation, we might think. But I believe it has a very relevant position to the Church of God. Because the Church of God are often blessed. And sometimes the people who've been blessed, they keep it to themselves. They keep it tight to their chest. They don't tell anybody about it. You might say, well, is that a good thing? Well, no, it's not a good thing. In actual fact, it's a wrong thing. Because here was a wonderful deliverance for the Samaritans. A deliverance they didn't expect. And yet there it was. And now they found it. And so they were, as they started, absorbing the plunder themselves, and now they realized this is not a good thing to do. We don't do it rightly. We do not well. Well, it's wonderful when the Lord God speaks to us in our lives, and we find that we are not doing things well. We do not well. Clearly, they have been pricked in their heart. Clearly, the Spirit of God had come upon them. Lepers as they were. And it's wonderful, isn't it, really? Because the Lord could have chosen many people to do this and to find it out. But who was used? We might say outcasts. People have been thrown out of the city because of their leprous condition. We might say the worst of the citizens. These were the people that God had chosen. These were the people who were to be used to find out this wonderful thing which had occurred. And that is often the case today. God chooses people who may perhaps think they're the very worst. Well, that's not a bad thing. We should all think we are the worst people, shouldn't we, really? Like I've said sometimes, especially when are going through the Philippians, the Apostle Paul, in his life, he described himself not as the great apostle with a great knowledge of all the things of God, but the very opposite. He classified himself as less than the least of all the saints. The apostle didn't have a high opinion of himself. And these people, these lepers, they didn't have a high opinion of themselves. And it's a good thing when God brings each of us to that scene where we don't have a high opinion of ourselves. The good news is, if we have a high opinion of our God, a high opinion of our Saviour, a high opinion of that one who has had mercy upon us, a high opinion of that one who has not dealt with us as our sins deserve. And so, as we think in terms of these words, this is a day of good tidings. Well, we perhaps ought to ask ourselves the question, have we had days of good tidings? You may say, well, just explain that a little bit. Well, let me explain it in this way. If God has looked down upon us and blessed us and touched our hearts and shown to us his goodness and his mercy and his favour and his blessing, and he hasn't dealt with us as we deserve, we haven't been cast out, we haven't been cut off, we haven't been struck down, we're still here on the earth. God's goodness and mercy has been toward us. And therefore, we know some good tidings. God's dealings with our soul is wonderful news. It's good tidings. And you know, the great problem is in the day and age in which we live, so many hold their peace. How many do not testify of what God has done? They just carry on without being thankful for what the Lord has done. We do not well, just like these lepers. They had been shown they weren't doing well. Oh, it would be a wonderful thing in our day and age if many hearts were touched by the Spirit of God to realize they're not doing well. They've got some good news, but they keep it to themselves. They don't testify of the mercy and the goodness and the grace and the love of Almighty God. Whereas these lepers said, "This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." It's wonderful, really, that we have a God who's given us a great book, the Bible, and in that book we find so many wonderful pictures for us, wonderful statements, and here is one of them, which perhaps describes our case even tonight. And as we read through, we might think, well, of course, the Kings and Chronicles, etc., are really just historical accounts. Well, they're not just historical accounts. They have much teaching in them. And here in this verse is much teaching for us today, much teaching for the Church of God. And we shouldn't say, well, I don't think it has any relevance to me. You know, that's because we don't want it to have any relevance to me. And we think, well, let's pass on. I don't want to take this to heart. I don't want to think about this very much. But it's good when the Spirit of God shows to us the relevance of such words and the goodness of God in recording such a very simple account to pose a question to our hearts as to whether we're doing the same thing in our lives. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. I'm very conscious that in the day and age in which we live, there are many people who hold their peace. Put it another way, they don't like to nail their colours to the mast. They don't really want to tell what God has done. They don't really want to honour the Lord in what He's blessed them with, because they look ahead and they think, oh, this might be embarrassing. This might be difficult. This might be costly to me. I might lose some of my friends. I might not be able to do what I wanted to do. And yet here we have a very straightforward and very simple case of these four leprous men. And remember, as I've intimated, these men were probably, to all outward appearance, the worst people in this town of Samaria. And perhaps you and I may feel to be the worst people, perhaps in the town of Redhill and Reigate, or perhaps wherever it might be. We might not think, well, we're really a bad person. And yet what a wonderful thing it is to think that God had mercy upon these leprous people. And what a wonderful blessing it is if God has had mercy upon us. If we tarry till the morning light. Again, there was plenty of opportunity to say, well, perhaps we'll carry on what we're doing, and then perhaps tomorrow we'll spread the good news. Well, that wasn't the case with these lepers. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. They didn't know. And we don't know, do we? Sometimes we hold back, and you may say, well, why is that? I'll tell you why it is. The devil never wants the work of God to be shown. He never wants that to be observed. He wants it to be hidden. And that's why we find a case recorded like this. A word of instruction, a word of direction. Some mischief will come upon us. Well, they didn't know. But they were fearful that it might come upon them. And that would be a good thing, wouldn't it, in the day and age in which we live, if people were fearful that mischief might come upon them because they hadn't testified of the good work of Almighty God, the good tidings which they had to declare. And in our lives, really, there are so many things, aren't there, that we could speak about. I hope there are, anyway. Things naturally in our natural life and things spiritual which are in our spiritual life. All these things, you know, we ought to acknowledge as emanating from the good hand of our God and come to that conclusion. Just like these lepers, we do not well. The devil will say, you're doing a good job. You're doing okay. Just carry on. Don't worry. No, says the word of God. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace, which is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The word of God has a very clear direction to us. It's this. Those that honour me, I will honour. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So these men were faced with the opportunity of declaring what they found or keeping it to themselves. And they realised by keeping it to themselves, they weren't doing a good thing. We do not well. We do not well. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit convicts us in a similar way. You know, we live in a day of small things, relatively so. But it's a blessing that there are those small things. And we shouldn't despise those small things. And sometimes we think they're small things, but in reality, they're big things. They're great things. They're things to praise God for and not to hide them. Again, we have the example, don't we, in the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus himself gives that example of a candle being put on a candlestick and lit so that it gives light to all around. And not to hide the light. Not to, the expression is, put it under a bushel. That was a container which, therefore, the light wouldn't have been seen. No, it is to be displayed. If God has blessed us with light, spiritual light, it is to be displayed. You may say, well, why? Because it's his light. It's the light which he has given us. And we shouldn't therefore hide it. We should display it. Put it on a candlestick so that people can see the wonder of this light. Naturally speaking, light in a dark place is a wonderful blessing. my friends, in a dark spiritual world. The spiritual work of God is a wonderful blessing. And it's a blessing that we are to display, because that blessing brings honour and glory to our God. And our lives, as I often tell you, is not for our own glory. It's for the glory of God. We are His workmanship. The work which He's done in our hearts is to be shown and to be set forth. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And what a mercy it is when the Lord has shone His light into our heart, and that light has revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. This is a wonderful light. This is a wonderful blessing. And my friends, how we need to set it forth and praise God for it. To be able to come and truly say from our hearts, Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He has worked a great work in my heart. The Lord had worked a great work here on this occasion to the against the Syrians. They'd fled. Sometimes you and I may think, oh, there's going to be a battle. Oh no, you think wrong perhaps. There may not be a battle. The enemy may have fled. And therefore what you expected to be a big battle is not a big battle, because the enemy is no longer there. What a mercy. We have a God who knows how to deal with us and how to bring honour and glory to His great and holy name. See, if these Syrians had been left to fight and the Samaritans had to fight them, there might have been a great, great battle, and perhaps the Samaritans might have won. But you know, the Samaritan would then no doubt have said, well, we fought the Syrians and we won the battle, and they would claim the glory, and they would be proud of their achievements. But in this instance, there was no possibility of them claiming any great victory themselves. What had happened? God had brought about the victory. And God had brought about the victory in an amazing way. Without the Samaritans fighting at all. Our God reigns today in exactly the same way as He did when this occurred. He reigns today in exactly the same way as He always has done when He created the earth. And He reigns today in the same way that He always will do. What a blessing it is when you and I realize our God reigns. What a mercy when you know He reigns in our heart. He rules in our heart. Yes, we don't rule ourselves. Perhaps sometimes we want to. We want to produce the effect. These people could not glory in any effect at all, could they? All they could do was to glory in what God had done in bringing about a wonderful victory, a wonderful situation. And therefore, how true it is. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. Yes, they knew where to go. They didn't want to just tell anybody of no consequence, not that that's wrong, but they wanted to actually tell the king, so the news would go far and wide. What a good thing that is for us today. in our little lives. Because what does this represent? The king's household. Well, I guess you can guess. The king's household is the church of God. And it's the church of God that love to hear good news of the work of Almighty God. It's the church of God that rejoice together to hear what God has done. And so they did come to the king. They did tell the king. And you may think, well, that's great. It's going to be easy now. The king's going to pat them on the back and elevate them to some high position. Well, the king didn't believe what they said. Didn't believe what they said. So don't be disappointed if sometimes people don't believe what you say. You can still rely upon what God has done. And as we read here together, so they came and called unto the port of the city. So they weren't able to go into the city because of their leprosy, and they had to call the porter. And they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Well, the good news was spreading. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now tell and show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city." There are people sometimes who doubt the work of God, who doubt the glorious work of God, and perhaps say, well, we don't think these things can be. That's why we have an encouraging statement and account here, to not be put off, to not be discouraged should that occur, but to recognize that, well, it's all part of the plan of Almighty God. Because there was, you see, in the king's palace, one of his servants who said, "Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see." Yes, what a blessing it was that God in his providence had placed a man in the palace to go and argue with the king that he should not just ignore it. And so they were able to take 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, "Go and see." So they weren't to be discouraged. Initially it seemed that way. Sometimes it may seem so in our life. We may be discouraged. But no, press on. There may be one in the king's palace. There may be one in the church of God who understands and doesn't want this to be passed by. And so we find, and they were told to go and see, and they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Yes, they came back. The news was true. It wasn't false. It was true what those lepers had said. And now there was confirmation of it. And so the king then appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge, to organize it. Well, of course, that man, he disbelieved, as we read previously, what would happen. He didn't believe it. But nonetheless, it came to pass. And we should recognize that God's work does come to pass. And the result was that this man who didn't believe, Although he was important next to the king, yet you see the people trod upon him and he died. And again, a fulfillment of the prophecy of Almighty God. God never fails. God's way is always right. God's way always comes to pass. Always comes to pass. Never be discouraged. Always recognize that God is on the throne. Men are not on the throne. They might think they are. The devil might think he's on the throne, but he's not. God is on the throne. And God does that which is in accordance with his will and his purpose. And so here we have this statement here before us. And they said one to another, "We do not well this day. It is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." And so there was obviously agreement with these four lepers to do just that. They didn't argue and say, "Well, no, I don't think we should. I think we should carry on taking the spoil." No, they were obviously unanimous in agreeing to do this. And what a good thing it is when those who have received the blessing from the Lord are unanimous in their desire to do the Lord's will, and indeed to honour him in that doing. Because that's the same really here, isn't it? When we say, "This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace." Well, I wonder tonight as we look into our little lives, and it is good to always be found looking into our lives and to find a comparison with the truth of God's word. So that it's not something which is different. We may think, "Well, I've got a pretty strange life and I've got a pretty unusual experience. In any case, people won't accept what I say." Well, initially, the king didn't want to receive it. But he did receive it. And it was true. And the Lord had appeared. And the Syrians had fled. And there was a great and glorious victory which the Samaritans had no part in. God gained the victory. Again, another similar account in the Word of God. You may remember the case of King Jehoshaphat. When he was in a really difficult strait, he was in fought against. The enemy was all round about him. He didn't know what to do, but he did. He prayed unto God, and he said, "These great enemies are all around us, and we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." He did know what to do. He thought he didn't, but he did. His eyes were upon the Lord. And perhaps tonight, you may think, "Well, I really don't know what to do." Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. And then there was that prophet, Benaniah, who was raised up to tell the people and the king what would happen. And he told them there would be no need to fight in this battle. What? All the enemy all around me? Not to fight? No. There would be no need to fight in this battle. God graciously and wonderfully appeared. And what happened? The enemy turned upon themselves and destroyed each other. But what had happened prior to that? Jehoshaphat believed what Benaniah said. He believed they would gain the victory. And he believed they would not have to fight in the battle. So he instructed them to begin to praise the Lord. There was no victory, but they commenced to praise the Lord, believing there would be a victory. And so there was a glorious victory. They didn't have to fight in that battle. The Lord appeared. And that may be so in our lives. We may think there's a difficult time ahead, a battle ahead. Well, we may be very wrong. Perhaps the Lord will appear in a wonderful way, so we don't have to fight in the battle. The Lord appeared here, didn't he? In a wonderful way, so that the Samaritans did not have to fight against the Syrians. And yet, how fearful they had been. Well, it's good, isn't it, if we can come. And as the lepers decided to do, to go and tell the king's household, come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. That's good news, isn't it? That's news which is encouraging to the church of God. It's news which brings honour and glory to God. What a mercy and what a favour. And if you see, the good news is that the Lord has shone into our hearts and shown us what we are, an unworthy sinner, and shown us what he is, a glorious Saviour. And to be able to tell of his wonderful love toward us, as John says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. His love to us has turned us to love him. You see, everything emanates from our God. It all commences with our God. It doesn't commence with us. We don't think we're a great person. God will have all the honour, and God will have all the glory, and God therefore will have the victory, and Satan will be a vanquished foe. He will be defeated. He will not be able to stand. And God's name will be honoured and glorified. Well, it'll be a wonderful time of blessing, like it was here. They found out as they went forward, there was this great victory which had been granted to them through the Lord's goodness and mercy. And all our victories, spiritual and natural, are through the Lord's goodness and mercy. What a good thing it is then, if you and I can come and commit our way unto the Lord, to trust also in him, that he will bring it to pass. I've said earlier, the Lord never fails. The Lord is very merciful. And my friends, he has the glory. You and I will desire that he has the glory. You won't want the glory. You'll want Jesus truly to be in your heart and in the hearts of those you tell, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then said they one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household.